The Valley of Fear. Foreword by Stephen Fry. One of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's most undersung achievements in the Sherlock Holmes stories was his brilliance in incorporating into his detective tales so many social, criminological, and cultural movements and issues, many of which had never been explored in popular fiction before. He was especially drawn to the energies and excesses across the Atlantic in the new America that was emerging from the fires of its terrible civil war. The Mafia, the Ku Klux Klan, the Freemasons, the early Mormons, and other closed and secretive societies all provided material for his books, as did the American racketeers, newly self-made millionaires, and eccentric philanthropists that were beginning to fascinate Europeans. The backstory that forms the narrative spine of his fourth and last full-length Sherlock Holmes novel, The Valley of Fear, is drawn from a now largely forgotten page of American history: the battles in the 1870s between labor unions and bosses in the Pennsylvanian coalfields. His marvelous story might seem an inexplicably grotesque and peculiar tale without casting a little light first on its context, one which would have been very familiar to Conan Doyle's readers. In the 1870s, in a country just recovering from the unimaginable ferocity of the bloodiest civil war in human history, the American, and indeed British, public were appalled to read of the violent activities of a gang known as the Molly Maguires. As the name suggests, this organization was Irish in origin, but it had greatly extended its reach during the emigrations from Ireland to America that followed the Great Potato Famine. The Molly Maguires had started as a group that opposed, threatened, and sometimes murdered tyrannical landlords and their agents back home. It seems they took their structure and outlook to the American coalfields, where they fought against what they saw as the equally tyrannical owners of the coal mines. The owners and their representatives, in turn, did everything they could to destroy the threat, as they saw it, of organized labor. Whatever one's view of the conflict, no one disagrees today that pay and conditions amongst the miners of Pennsylvania were quite appalling. It seemed to be a race between death by accident in those dreadfully dangerous mines or death by starvation. It was also a time when the bosses and mine owners could rely entirely on private agencies to enforce their will. The most celebrated case, and one that you will see has echoes in Doyle's Valley of Fear, concerned the smashing of the Molly Maguires' presence in the coal valleys of Pennsylvania. The world-renowned private detective agency, Pinkerton's, was hired by Franklin B. Gowan, the richest anthracite mine owner in the world, to infiltrate and destroy the Molly Maguires. Alan Pinkerton sent an Irish-born agent called James McParland to go undercover and gather evidence for a trial. This he did, resulting in arrests, criminal charges, and mass hangings. Gowan won over the press, and story after story was printed suggesting that unions were violent criminal gangs and employers like Gowan their blameless victims. The undercover informer McParland was celebrated as a hero. The truth, as you can imagine, was somewhat more complicated than that. But the gang, largely thanks to McParland, was broken up. Dozens of its members hanged, organized labor was entirely discredited in the area, and the public's mind believed it all a victory for Pinkertons and good order. But as was observed by a judge from another district, the Molly Maguire trials were a surrender of state sovereignty. A private corporation initiated the investigation through a private detective agency. A private police force arrested the alleged defenders, and private attorneys for the coal companies prosecuted them. The state provided only the courtroom and the gallows. You may have seen the 1970 motion picture, The Molly Maguires, starring Richard Harris as McParland and Sean Connery as Kehoe, an unrepentant gang member. Conan Doyle, in his novel The Valley of Fear, was touching then on themes and a story well known to his readers. It appeared in installments in the Strand magazine between September 1914 and May 1915, the first 9 months of the Great War, in other words. This last full-length Sherlock Holmes novel shares some structural elements with the first and second, A Study in Scarlet and The Sign of Four, not to mention short stories like The Boscombe Valley Mystery, The Dancing Men and The Five Orange Pips. Murders committed in England lead to the discovery of stories whose origins lie in activities that took place long ago in foreign lands. As such, this type of story provided an opportunity for Conan Doyle to exercise his formidable imaginative and descriptive powers to bring to life a violent, energetic past that would have excited and fascinated his contemporaries as much as I hope it excites and fascinates us today.